We've had a busy few days and a busy day today, and I think God has something that He'd like to say to us this evening still. Before we go, we want to take advantage of that. Let's just spend some time worshiping the Lord. You know the chorus, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice." Let's sing it right to Him and change the focus of our minds now to the things that are important and the things of God.
I love you.
You, I worship and I
Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I glorify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Together. We thank you for the way in which you've been speaking to us and leading us, Lord. We believe, Lord, you're doing much more than we realize. You always seem to work that way. You do much more than we can ask or even think. And we thank you for that. Tonight, Lord, we know that you're here to work in our lives. We pray that you'll finish up these last hours today and tomorrow morning. The thing that you have in mind for each and every one of us, Lord.
Yes.
God, we're believing that the Holy Spirit complete his work for this retreat in each of our lives. We pray, Jesus, that you'll help us to just present ourselves to you tonight. We pray that you'll help us to do as we've sung, to just glorify Jesus, exalt him. Lord, somehow enable us to enter into worship with a greater liberty and an abandonment. We want to open wide to you, Lord, and just let you have your way among us.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we commit this gathering to you, all that is said and done. Let Jesus be glorified, and give us a greater sight of him that will help us to love him more, serve him better, and be more perfectly yielded to him. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
When we gathered here on Saturday night, one of the first things that was said was, we study God so that we might worship him. And now we've been taking a few days to study the holiness of God and how that ought to impact our lives. And I trust it's made a change in the way we want to worship God. In one sense, when we worship God, we're brought into heaven. And in one sense, when we worship God, heaven comes down to meet with us. They sing that. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And that happens as we worship God. And so if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation 4 and follow along as we read that picture of what the worship of heaven is like. Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me, like a trumpet, said, Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumblings, and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind, the first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, O Lord, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." Then I saw in the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that He can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And He went and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are You to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain, and by Your blood You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. I think when we really get a sight of Jesus, it's no longer about us, but it's, "Lord, You are altogether lovely, and You're altogether worthy, and You're altogether wonderful to me." I heard a minister say that the first thing you say when you get to heaven will be, "Oh, Jesus, I love You." I think he's right. I don't think it'll be, "Look at those streets," or "Look at those gates," or anything like that. I think it'll be, "Jesus, I love You." Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 24. And we'll need to stand as we sing. Number 24 in your hymn books. And let it ring out. Hear the music around the lake? Now it's our turn. Thank you.
Here I am.
Get a real sight of the cross and what Jesus did on the cross for us, that we can come to Him and really say, "Here I am, Lord," and give ourselves to Him. Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my soul, my life, my all. Let's also sing that before we continue. It's number 88 in your hymn book. Number 88.
Sorrow.
Yes, dear Jesus. And so we offer it to you freely, O God. Because your love is amazing. You're wonderful. You're lovely. Oh God. We want to thank you, Father, for helping us this evening, helping us to worship you in spirit and in truth, with all of our heart, to see you, oh God. We want to thank you that you've helped us to acknowledge your presence here tonight, that you are in our midst, the Great One, the Holy One, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's true. It's so true, Father. We'll never truly hear or perhaps understand the price you paid for us. But we're beginning. We want you to know that. We're beginning and we're grateful. You are worthy. You're altogether worthy. And we thank you and we give you praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I've been coming to Pilgrim Camp. I first came to Pilgrim Camp when I was 13 years old. My pastor's wife, Sister Grace Schulteis, said, "How would you like to go to camp? We have a fellowship camp. So what do you say?" And she's so persuasive that I just, you know, you don't say no to her. She was that type of person. I wish you all could know her. I do. You know, when she spoke to you like this. She's right up close. You know, you ever see someone like, "Hi!" You know, I didn't know. You know, she was too much of a saint to have bad breath. But she persuaded me. I came here 13 years old. I never had left home before. And came to Pilgrim Camp. And I had, you know, that began my long journey through Pilgrim Camp. I came after that when I turned 16, came up to work for 2 weeks, but then it ended up going into the month as a 16-year-old. And then every summer since I was 16, I worked every summer at camp. One summer, he's a relative of some of you here, John Pelizzeri, said to me, "I'm going up early. I'm going to go up in May and help Brother Carl Saylor, and let's say we do it." And I went to Brother Gardner, the director, and I said, "You know, I want to go up early to work at camp." And he, "Well, sure," he said. And so he hooked it up with the groundskeeper, and I came up early. No John Pelizzeri. So it was just me and Brother Page, a German man. He didn't speak very well English then. We spent one night together, and then he moved into another room. Yes. Well, you're feeling sorry for Brother Page and me. But you know, I ought to tell you folks something. I'm 51 now. The crowd goes into awe. And I've been after I was married, my wife and I did a lot of time in the cottage. I shouldn't put it that way. We served in the cottage. But in my years here, I've never witnessed the lodge filled with so many young people. Isn't that wonderful? Rise up, let's take the camp. It's great, though. You know, I know we don't do this. I don't do this at home, and we don't do this here. But I think we should give the Lord a clap offering tonight. But hold on now. At my signal. But you know, I don't want you to just do this. You know, because we don't just do this. But that the Lord put this together. That the Holy Spirit ordained this. Take a look around. This lodge is filled with young people. I've seen it filled on Labor Day weekends. I've seen it filled sometimes Memorial Day weekends. But this is wonderful. And this is God's doing. And I think we ought to give Him thanks for it. God is good. And you know what? You know what it shows? Yeah. Okay. I forgot to tell you to turn that tape off. But you know what it shows? It shows that God has you in mind. That God has the young, this generation in mind. Why else would you be here? That he's pulled you, drawn you, gotten you here. But you know, I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord we felt and know is here tonight. As we sang those choruses and sang that hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, as Brother Matthew so very well read from Revelation, you know Jesus is here. I thank God for that. I'm thankful that he has opened my heart to know that Jesus is right here, and I acknowledge his presence. Let's stand together. Can we stand, please? Father, we want to thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it's living, that it's you. We thank you that it corrects us, it encourages us, it, Lord, guides us, leads us, that it reveals you to us constantly. But we have to ask you that if you would, Lord, and we know your heart wants to do this, that you'd open our hearts to receive your word. We're not always ready for it. We're not always receptive. But Lord, you sent the Holy Spirit to help us to get us where we should be, where it'll take root. And we ask that you'll do that tonight. And we receive your word with gratitude. Oh God, it's life and health to us. And we thank you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. I'm trying to remember how, but I got affiliated with a camp in Pennsylvania, and they asked me to speak there a few times. It was called Camp Haycock, was the name of it. A haycock is the hay bale that they, so they had a lot of them, so they named the camp after that. And it was through a Baptist church that I used to do chapels for, and so they said, we have a camp, and we'd love you to come up there, and would you, we have a father and son weekend, and we have a father and daughter weekend. And so there's about 80 father and daughters that go up there. And my first time, I was a little nervous because I was the speaker, and I think it was my son John was younger, and we went up there, and I didn't know quite what the program was. And I knew that around 8 o'clock was the meeting, and that I was expected to speak to these fathers and sons. But I didn't know the schedule for the day. Well, it started out, we got there and unpacked and got settled into like a bunkhouse type of thing. You know, they had all these where they put us up. And then a whistle blew and it was, okay, come on out. What we're going to do is we're going to have this great football game, touch football. So we ran all over the place for like an hour, all of us, you know, fathers and sons, and it was great. And then after that, they had a little snack, and then it was, okay, now we're going to play this other game. I've never heard it before. What they do is they give each father two pieces of candy, you know, that you put in your pocket, and they give you so much time to hide. So all the fathers scatter. We run all over this. It was a good-sized camp, a lot of property. We run, you hide, just hide, hide, hide. And then they let the sons go, and they had to go find you. So I found a really good hiding place. You know, I ran. They had a lot of acres, you know, and it was Pennsylvania, so it's not so mountainous. So I ran. I found this great. I threw myself into the midst of this like bulrush thing because I did not want to be found. You know, I wanted to win the game. I got myself in there, bunkered down in these weeds, a little dampness, but you know, anything for victory. Got down in there. And it was great. You know how they were passing me with their flashlights because you played at night. They're, you know, walking by me, and I'm like, oh, this is easy. An hour goes by, 45 minutes have gone by. I haven't been found, and I'm starting to realize that I hit too well. and it's getting a little ridiculous. And I'm getting a little bit bored. So now I'm starting to contemplate, maybe I should just eat the candy that they gave me, which had melted in my pocket. Well, anyway, finally, I come out of my hiding place. It wouldn't feel so victorious, you know what I mean? Because everybody, all the other dads, you know, they are saying, "Good job, son, you found me." And John Wesley's kind of like, you know, I felt, you know, terrible. I had to talk that night. Finally, and my point is that, so now we had run around all day, and then we're gathered. It's time for the meeting. We gather in the meeting house. And we've got Reverend Schneider. He's going to speak to us. And I looked down at those fathers. They're all like this, you know. That's a youth conference. It's what we do, right? But it's so good to see you awake and alive. And I'm going to see what I can do to change things.